The angel Gabriel had a message that the angel had to deliver. He was an angel sent by God. And to deliver this message, he passed by the palace of Caesar Augustus. He passed by the household of Quirinius, governor of Syria. He passed by the palace of Herod, the ruler of Galilee, and he went to this little, tiny, inconsequential town of Nazareth. And he went to visit this woman in Nazareth, Mary of Nazareth, this woman who was of no real account. She wasn't even married. She wasn't married to an important person. She was just engaged to some guy. You know what was special about Mary? Nothing. There was nothing special about Mary. Mary was not from an important family. She was not famous. She was not wealthy. She was not powerful. She was just a woman, just a human, with nothing special, nothing that would commend her among other humans. In fact, she was on the lower end. She was not noticeable or noticed. She wasn't married. She wasn't married to anybody important. She wasn't married at all. And in that day, if you're not married, you really don't have a whole lot of status if you're a woman. She was sort of there. And it was to Mary that the angel Gabriel came. And it was to Mary that the angel Gabriel gave the message that you are the one who is going to give birth to the Christ child. Give birth to the child of God who is going to lead all of humanity into a new way of being human. The child that you will bear will change the course of human history and will change the soul of the world and be the world's savior. It was to Mary that the angel came. It would have been a different gospel if the angel came to the daughter of Caesar Augustus. Right? But it was to Mary, and that's part of the point. That's part of the center of what the gospel is about. The gospel is about claiming the dignity and proclaiming the dignity of every human being. And part of what the gospel is trying to fix is the way that we give special honor and special attention to people who are wealthy or powerful. The way our culture is set up and the way our own psyches are set up, that we notice the beautiful people, we love the beautiful people, and we discard the others. It's sort of wired in our psyche, and it is part of what Christ is trying to fix in us, and it's a centerpiece of what this gospel is about, which is why it is Mary that the angel Gabriel goes to, because Mary is not one of the beautiful people. And what's kind of surprising is that Mary's shock isn't that God is going to be born in the form of a human. She doesn't say, how can that be? Her shock is, how can that be in me? Like, I'm not the kind of person. Like, I'm not important enough for this to be happening. How can that be happening in me? Like, why me? And she notices the power of what is happening. God is coming to me, a woman of no estate, surrounded by the beautiful people, and yet it is me, this dark corner of humanity, that is being honored and acknowledged. It's a total reversal that God is trying to bring to us so that the divisions that we create in our world are overcome. And Mary, upon hearing this news, rushes to her relative Elizabeth, because she was told in this message that her relative Elizabeth, who was way too old to have a baby, was going to be having a baby. And part of the theme of this story is God creating life out of situations that we consider are no life. Mary sees Elizabeth. There is this mystical moment that happens in the baby, and mystical in Elizabeth's womb, recognizes Mary, recognizes what is happening. Elizabeth praises Mary, tells her what's going on. Mary has this message confirmed. And once she has this message confirmed, the Holy Spirit takes root in her, and she proclaims this prophetic song that we call the Magnificat, the Song of Mary. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. He has looked with favor on the lowliness and the lowliest of all of us. And then what Mary says, as she's saying that God is my Savior, that this situation is my Savior, but then she defines what salvation is, and salvation is not being saved from the wrath of an angry God. Salvation is something different. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. For Mary, the salvation that is being born in the world is a salvation that undoes the social structures that keeps people in prison and keeps people trapped in poverty and keeps us from recognizing the dignity of all human beings, because we're so distracted by the powerful and the wealthy. And we give the powerful and the wealthy so much honor. And Mary is realizing that what is happening in this moment is all of that is being challenged by the power and the grace and love of God. That God is coming to change us, to show us a new way of being human, where the mighty and those who rule it over others are being cast down from their thrones, and the lowly are being lifted up. And then we see Jesus echo this message when, after the baptism of Jesus, when he goes to Nazareth and he reads from the scroll of Isaiah, and he talks about the blind receiving light and receiving sight and the lepers being cleansed. He talks about the captives being set free and the poor having good news brought to them. That this gospel that Jesus came isn't to save us from the wrath of an angry God, but it's rather to save us from ourselves and to bring to us a new way of being human that is grounded in love and honoring the dignity of every human being. And the seeds of this vision were planted early in the Torah. In the Torah, there is this one of the many ways that the Torah is trying to structure human existence, one of the many rules or laws in the Torah, one that has never, ever, 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 ever been followed, by the way, is this notion of the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee in the Torah set up this way in which every 50 years, all debts are canceled. And if you got into a bind and you had to sell your ancestral land in order to get out of a bind, after that at that 50th year, that land gets restored to your family. It is sort of this societal do-over that levels the playing field every 50 years. Now, they never did it. Like, it was never done. And the practical-minded among you, especially the financially practical-minded among you, would say, well, it would never work because who would do a loan in year 49 if in year 50 it's going to be wiped out and it makes no sense? And whether it makes sense or not, whether it's practical or not, what it does is it gives us a glimpse into the mind of God for all humanity. The dream of God for all humanity is that we all have dignity, that we all have a chance, that we are all loved. And that's the power of the angel Gabriel going to see Mary, this woman who has nothing to commend her other than she is a beloved child of God. And she's the one that's honored. She's the one that is lifted up. And she proclaims this mighty song where all of us are lifted up. The mighty and those who lord it over are brought down from their thrones, and the lowly are lifted up. There is this leveling of all of humanity. And it's interesting the tense that she uses. What she says is, he has cast down the mighty. He has lifted up the lowly. There is this already sense, which is central to our life in faith. In our life in faith, there's this sense, like we've been talking about, this sense that things aren't okay and that God is ushering into a new future. But at the same time, that new future in some way is already here. And the way we live our lives is to live as if that new future were already here, even though we know that it's not fully here, but it's here. And Mary's saying, this reality is a present reality, so live it now. Instead of just saying, someday things are going to get better, live better now. And someday it's going to get better, but live better now. He has lifted up the lowly, so let's live as if it's true. Live better now. Create the jubilee in our mind now where all humans have dignity and are loved. Now what I want to do is place this message in the context of the four Sundays of Advent. So the first Sunday of Advent, the message of the first Sunday of Advent we know now is things are not okay. Things may not be okay in our own personal lives. Things are not okay in our nation. Things are not okay globally. And there's a way in which things are not okay cosmically. Like there's a tear in the cosmos. There's a tear in creation. There's a tear in humanity. And things aren't okay. That's the purpose of the first Sunday of Advent, to get us to wake up and to realize, like, get out of our, however we've numbed ourselves or anesthetized ourselves from realizing that there are people who are dying around us and that things aren't okay. The first Sunday is to wake us up. The second Sunday of Advent goes from this sort of macro picture to the micro picture of our own hearts. And says, if we want things to get better, we have to start here. And John the Baptist proclaims a baptism of conversion, a baptism of changing our minds and our hearts so that we live in forgiveness. There's this new way of looking at ourselves and one another through the lens of forgiveness, and it's a change in our hearts and a change in our minds. That's the second Sunday of Advent. If you want the world that is not okay to get better, start here and here. Third Sunday of Advent, that same John the Baptist says that if you're going to be changed here and here, it's not just about thinking loving things, but living your life differently. Living your life and serving those around you and serving those in need. It's about putting actions in place that are aligned with this new way of thinking. And then the fourth Sunday of Advent is Mary proclaiming this societal vision. It's not just about us caring for the individuals in our orbit, but it's about us rewiring the way our culture exists and the way our society works. It is societal. I dare say it is political. That's kind of a dangerous word to use because people hear that as partisan, but it has to do with how we structure ourselves structurally, that there is a new way of being human structurally that's being born. And the fourth Sunday of Advent is still, we're still in this preparation mode that our minds are being set to say, be ready for this new thing, this new way of being to be born. And it's not just about here, it's about our actions, it's about our society. Everything is being rewired, be ready. And then at Christmas, we welcome the Christ into our hearts, into our church, into our world, to lead us into a new way of being human, and we live as if it's true, even if it's not fully true. And we start that cycle. Now, I believe that that is the plan of God. And I believe that God is playing the long game. Like, this cycle, it doesn't finish in a year. It does, obviously. Like, the kingdom of heaven is not here fully. It doesn't finish in a decade or a century or a millennia. So let's give it 3 millennia, right? So God's playing the long game. And what happens is we go through this cycle. We have our imaginations lit up that there's a different way of being human. And in 2019, we're going to be 1% better, you know, or 0.001% better. And it's going through this cycle. It's telling the human consciousness that there is this other way of being and planting those seeds. And I believe if you look through our history, you can see these seeds sort of taking fruit. And it's even sort of taken root in our own, the ethos and the zeitgeist of our own country. I mean, the founding of this country, the values of this country, that everyone, like all men are created equal, even though there were a lot of that sentence that we didn't get, like we didn't fully understand, but there was this sense that all men are created equal, even though men didn't include like all men or women. But that idea, like that all humans should be created equal, was in the founding of our country. And this sense of the American dream, that if anyone tries, they should have a chance to like succeed, that is, in a way, the Jubilee. That's the vision of the Jubilee, that everyone has an opportunity here. Everyone has a fair shake. Our justice system is set up so that everyone has a fair shake, that it doesn't give preference to the wealthy or the powerful. Even though we've never lived into any of this well, the fact that that's our vision and our goal comes from the gospel and comes from these seeds being planted every year and us once again hearing the story, us once again having this fire lit in our hearts and our souls, so that this next year the kingdom of heaven is going to draw just a little bit closer and a little bit closer, so that over time, you know, and it's even that gospel sensibility that makes us even more uncomfortable with the way things are, because we know that's not the way they should be. So we are now, we're still in the season of Advent. We're still in the season of anticipation and preparation. And now we've gone through the entire cycle. We've connected again to the fact that things aren't okay, and that the answer begins in our own hearts and in our own actions, and that we're being called to live into a different way of being human as a culture and a society. And then tomorrow, we get to celebrate the birth of God coming to us, to our own brokenness, to our own humbleness, our own needs and our own struggles, and to love us and inspire us into this new humanity that's here, even if it's not here fully. Amen.